All right, my friends, is my mic on? Did I forget to turn it on? Oh, there it is. If you have your Bibles, open them up to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3. So if you find, go to the very back of the Bible, you'll find Revelation. Just keep flipping back. You'll find the book of Hebrews, and just before Hebrews, you will find the book of 2 Timothy. And while you're turning there, can we sing a song together? You say, well, no. We can sing, but you can't, and that's fair, okay? So how about I start it and you finish it, okay? Are you ready? The B-I-B-L-E. Y'all think my singing's bad? Wait till you see me dance. Hey, that's the perfect BBS song, isn't it? Susan, that's the perfect BBS song.
It is.
The B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. Now that phrase, I stand alone on the Word of God, it literally means this. It literally means it's the Word of God alone upon which I stand. I stand on nothing else but the Word of God. However, in 2024, if you were to sing that song, it could equally mean this. Am I the only one left standing alone on the Word of God? Am I the only one who believes that this is the Word of God? Let me share with you a survey done by Gallup, a 2022 Gallup poll. So this is the most latest data that I could find. They polled America, and here's what they came up with. A record low 20% of Americans now say that the Bible is the literal Word of God. Only 20% of Americans say the Bible is the literal Word of God. On the other end of that spectrum, a record high 29% of Americans say the Bible is only a, quote, collection of fables, legends, history, and moral precepts recorded by man. Which means most people are somewhere in the middle. Somewhere between saying that the Bible is the inspired, inerrant, infallible, authoritative Word of God, and between the other side of that, which the Bible is just a bunch of stories. So when you sing that song, the B-I-B-L-E, and you sing that phrase, I stand alone in the Word of God, which one are you saying? Are you saying that it is only the Word of God upon which I stand? Or are you saying, well, parts of the Word of God, that's what I'll stand on. The rest of it, maybe not. Listen to me. The Bible is the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God. And you say, those are big words. What does that mean? That the Word of God is inspired is a small statement with huge implications. In fact, the other ones flow from that simple statement. To be inspired means this, that God breathed the very words of the Bible. More on that in a minute. That God's Word is inerrant, that flows from it being inspired. That God's Word is inerrant means this, that because God breathed the very words of Scripture, the very words of Scripture cannot contain error. They are error-free. They are inerrant. There's no error with God and no error with His Word. That God's Word is infallible. It also flows from inspiration. Because God's Word is breathed from the very mouth of God, the very words of Scripture are a sure, reliable guide that cannot mislead us and cannot fail. It is infallible, incapable of failing. And because God's Word is inspired, because it is inerrant, because it is infallible, God's Word is also authoritative. So listen to me. God's Word and your opinion will not always agree. And that's where it gets hard. There are things in the Bible that God says that you may not agree with. There are things that God says that we should do and should not do that you may not agree with. And when you come up against those things, you are faced with an option. What should you do? Well, if the Word of God is inspired, if the Bible is inspired by God, the very words of God, if it's inspired, if it's inerrant, if it's infallible, then your opinion comes second, and the Word of God comes first. Today, we're continuing our Summer Fix series by looking at some bad theology. Bad theology. Fixing that bad theology before it ruins your home. And my goal today for you, the listener, my goal for you, the church, is very simple. My goal is for you to leave this place today and say without a doubt, the Bible, all of it, from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, all of it is the very word of God. And even if I stand alone on the B-I-B-L-E, it is only the B-I-B-L-E upon which I will stand. That's my goal for you. If you have your Bibles, let me invite you to stand as we read together in honor of God's word, 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to begin in verse 14, and we're only going to read through verse 17. God's word says this, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed. You know those who taught you, and you know that from infancy you have known the sacred scriptures, which are able to give you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God." I'll read that part again. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is inspired, and I pray that today you would help me to communicate that clearly. I pray you would help me to communicate that, the truth of your word, not just the fact that your word is true, but the message of your word, that Jesus is alone saves, that Jesus is our Savior and Lord, and only He can save. Help me to communicate that in a way that's clear, that's compelling. Help me to communicate that with compassion. And Father, above all, I pray that you would do your work with your word as you promised you would do, that your word never comes back void. And so I pray in this room right now and across maybe living rooms and homes where they're listening on the radio and watching on YouTube and all those things, I pray that you would do your work in each of our lives. And I pray that we would leave this place knowing that we worshiped in the presence of the living God and we read from the word of the living God. Change us today, Father. Make us more like you. I pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You can be seated. Three blessings that come from the inspired word of God. The first blessing is this. We find our confidence in the Bible. Listen to me. In a world where left is right and up is down and evil is good and good is evil, we can have a bold confidence in the word of God to know exactly how we are called to live. In the Bible, in this book, we find what honors God and what dishonors God. In the Bible, we find a clear definition of right and wrong, a clear definition of good and evil. And listen, this is one of my favorite phrases. Laura, are you ready? If the Bible is our guide, and it should be, then that sure does bring a lot of clarity to a confusing world, doesn't it? If the Bible's our guide, and it should be, that clears up a whole lot of confusion. In the Bible, we find our confidence. First, we find our confidence in the truth of the word. Look at verse 14. The Bible says, "But as for you, continue in what you've learned and firmly believed." Paul is encouraging Timothy to continue something, to remain steadfast in something. And that something is the application of the sacred scriptures. Listen, you don't have to encourage someone to do something they want to do. You don't have to encourage someone to do something that's easy. You don't have to encourage me to go to a Royals game. You don't have to encourage Bob to go to a Royals game. What you doing Wednesday, Bob? Amen, brother, amen. You don't have to encourage us to go. Bob's a new Royals fan, in case y'all missed that on the radio. He's a bigger Royals fan than I am now. You don't have to encourage me to do something that's easy, but you know what I need some encouragement on? Carla, where you at? I need some encouragement to clean out that flower garden in my front yard. That's hard work. Y'all ever pulled weeds? It's like you pull it and it comes right back, and you pull it and it comes right back, and you pull it, and you spray weed poison on there, and you kill the plants. That's hard work. I need some encouragement to do that. And listen to me. Following the Bible, applying the sacred truth of the sacred scripture is hard, hard, hard work. And if you think it's not, then you may not be rightly applying the scriptures to your life. Because it is hard to do what the Bible says. It is hard. And so Paul encourages Timothy to continue in what you've learned. And why? Look at the end of the verse. Because you firmly believe it. It's true. You firmly believe it. It's a steadfast firm belief in the authoritative Word of God. We find confidence in the truth of the Word, but we also find confidence in the holiness of the Word. Do me a favor, look at your Bible, either on the front or on the spine. Does it say Holy Bible on there somewhere? Mine's on the spine. Say, what do those words mean? The word Bible comes from Latin and Greek, and it really means a book, or better yet, it means books. The word holy, well, that means something different. What does the word holy mean? Literally, it means something different. Holy means something that is different, that is unlike anything else. So listen, in a literal sense, when you see the phrase Holy Bible, that literally means a book of books that is not like any other book in the world. It's different. And why is it different? Because God wrote it. God inspired it. And where do we get that idea? Well, one of the places is right here. Look in your Bible again. We're going to start again in verse 14 and read through verse 15. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believe. You know those who taught you, and you know those from infancy, and you know that from infancy you have known, my translation says, the sacred scriptures. How many of your translations say the word holy? Raise your hand if it says holy. Yeah, the King James, New King James, and maybe the NIV, that translates that as holy. The Holy Bible and the sacred scriptures, that's two different ways to explain the same thing. Like beautiful and attractive, or excellent and wonderful, or Baptist and casserole dish. It's two different ways to explain the same thing. By the way, we have a business meeting on Wednesday. We invite you to come. And all God's people said, yeah. And bring a side dish. It's two words that mean the same thing. Sacred Scripture and Holy Bible. They mean the exact same thing. The Holy Bible is sacred Scripture. It's a book of books. It's unlike any other book in the world. It's the very Word of God. Well, we also find confidence in the message of the Word. You want to know what the message of the Word is? Let me share it with you. Verse 15. We'll read it again. And you know that from infancy you have known the sacred scriptures, which are able to give you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. What do you find in the B-I-B-L-E, my brothers and sisters? You find wisdom. God's wisdom for your life, and more importantly, you find God's wisdom for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. In the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, we see the unfolding of history, the unfolding of the story that mankind has blown it in sin. We've ruined it. We've separated ourselves from God because we chose sin over God, and everyone has sinned. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But as you read through the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, you begin to see hope arise. Because in the Old Testament, you see this picture of a Messiah who's coming to save us. A Messiah, the Christ, who's coming. And then you get to Matthew and you see that beautiful picture of that babe in a manger. And then you watch to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, and you see these miracles that Jesus performed. Things that only God could do. Raising the dead from life. Giving the blind sight. And then you see Jesus dying on a cross for our sins. And by the way, that was a message that he shared from the beginning. You know the verse, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave who? That whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have what? That's in John chapter 3. He had several chapters to go before he was on the cross. The whole Bible is like that. The whole Bible points to that moment in time when Jesus gave his life for us. And then you get to the book of Acts, and the Holy Spirit is now present. And the Holy Spirit then takes the message of God and moves it to the ends of the earth. That story of Jesus is found all throughout the pages of the Bible. And hear me, if you're here today and you don't know Christ, today is your day. God loves you. And he died on the cross for you. And if you'll repent of your sins and trust in him, you will be eternally saved. And then comes the hard part. Because then you have to do what the Bible says. You say, what if I don't agree with what the Bible says? Well, I'm glad you asked, because our second point is this. We find our confidence in the Bible, but we also find God's voice in the Bible. Listen, if you want to hear the voice of God It's real easy. It's not mystical. It's real easy. You open up your Bible and you read it. That's what makes the Bible holy, because it's different. God breathed it. It contains, in this book, contains the very words of God. Look at verse 16. And if you have a pen or a highlighter, do me a favor and circle that first word, all. All Scripture is inspired by God. And here's the hard part for us to accept. When we say that the Bible is inspired by God, when we say 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture is inspired by God, what we are saying is these words are God's words. All of them. Every one of them. And here's why that can be hard for us to accept. Because God may call something sinful that you think is no big deal. Or God may call something holy that you think is just simply old-fashioned. And here's the danger in the church, right? Here's the danger for those of us who follow God's word. When the culture and the church agree, man, we can be loud and proud. But when the culture and the church disagree, well, we kind of cower back. Let me give you two examples. I'm going to be very careful and couch my words very carefully because we have children in the room, so adults need to be adults. All right, are you ready? Two examples. In the area of human trafficking, the culture and the church agree. It is a vile, wicked abomination for a boy, a girl, a woman, or even a man to be used and abused for the pleasure of a vile, wicked, typically man. It is an abomination for that. So the church can safely be on the front lines of that issue. But in the area of God's design for marriage, well, the culture doesn't agree with us on that. And so we often take a back seat and remain silent while the culture yells as loud as it can. In the area of foster care and adoption, the church and the culture both agree. So we can be on the front lines, adopt, be a foster parent. But in the area of the sacredness of life, from womb to tomb, the culture doesn't agree. So we stand back and we maybe cower a bit. But listen. If the Bible is our guide, and it should be, well, again, that brings a lot of clarity to a confusing world, doesn't it? Listen, I didn't invent this. You didn't invent this. I didn't write the Bible. You didn't write the Bible. And you say, oh, how do you know? Because we wouldn't have written it this way. We wouldn't have included the things in here that are included. We couldn't have. We wouldn't have known the story of Jesus to include that. We didn't invent this Bible. We didn't write this Bible. Those thoughts, that theology flows from the very Word of God, the very words of God. And according to verse 16, all Scripture is inspired by God. In this inspired book, we see instructions about righteous living and sinful living. And now listen, we don't need to be jerks about what we believe. In fact, you can be bold without being a jerk. Did you know that? Being bold does not mean being a jerk. Bold jerkism, that's a word I made up, because preachers do that all the time. Bold jerkism will never persuade anyone. Never. You know what happens if you're a bold jerk about some of these issues? You want to know who says amen? Only people who agree with you. It is unpersuasive to be a bold jerk. But it is entirely appropriate, with humility in your heart, with love in your heart, to approach someone with love and concern and care and say, here's what the Bible says. Don't have to be a jerk about it. You don't have to be bold, or you don't have to be a jerk to be bold. Being bold means you stand for the truth. Well, we find our confidence in the Bible. We find God's voice in the Bible. Lastly, we find our purpose in the Bible. Listen to me. The Bible is designed to be taught and learned. Did you know that? Look at it. Verse 16. All Scripture is inspired by God and is what? Profitable for what? Teaching. Profitable for teaching. Listen, what we do here is so holy. What we do in this building is holy work. When you come to Sunday school and you join a class, which, by the way, if you're not involved in a class, get plugged in. When you come at 9:30 in the morning and you sit under the teaching of God's word, that is a holy thing. That is a holy moment. And it's, according to the Bible, it is profitable for you to do that. It profits you to learn the word. The Bible, by its design, is designed to be taught. And by implication, it's designed to be learned. Secondly, the Bible is designed for rebuke and correction. Look again, verse 16. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking and correcting. Two different terms which mean two different things. Rebuking and correcting. A rebuke in this context is when you point to the Bible to expose the error of a false teacher. That's what that means. You're rebuking that false teaching. So when someone teaches something that's unbiblical and they continue in that, even when you've tried to show them in a gentle way that they're wrong, this is what the word is for. You go to them and you say, here's what the Bible says. Here's what you don't do. You don't go to them and share your opinion on what you think. You don't know why? Because your opinion is not inspired, not inerrant, not infallible, not authoritative. Your opinion is just as valid as mine. But the Word of God, which guides our very thoughts, that is inspired, that is inerrant, that is infallible, it is authoritative. You show them the Word of God. Rebuking is for correcting the false teacher who persists in their way. Correction is different. Correction is for the believer who wants to follow the Lord. I mean, they want to know Jesus. They want to follow the Lord, but they just have some things wrong. So listen, if you have a fellow believer who's doing something unbiblical, well, you need to figure some things out. Don't run at them and beat them over the head with your Bible. That's not persuasive. Instead, sit down and talk with them. Have some coffee with them. And use the Bible as correction. Not your opinion. Use the Word. Well, the Bible is designed to be taught. It's designed for rebuke and correction. It's also designed to help us bring glory to God. I'm going to read all of verse 16 and verse 17 again. Are you ready? All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. How are we made complete? How can we be made complete? By knowing what God wants for us. And how do we know what God wants for us? We listen to His voice. We read the Word. We find our purpose in the Word. And when we do that, we are equipped for every good work. And don't you know that when you accomplish every good work, that brings so much glory to your Father in heaven? Because none of us can do anything good apart from Him. But when we accomplish every good work, your Father in heaven, He gets all the credit, and we love that. So what happens? What happens if we get the Bible wrong? What happens if you leave here and you're like the 80% of the people who say it's not really the inspired Word of God? What happens if we don't believe the inspired, inerrant, infallible, authoritative Word of God, that this thing isn't authoritative? What happens if we don't believe in this book? Well, let me answer that with a story. Probably, 10 years ago now, we lived on Union Avenue here in Moberly. And we moved in, loved that house. And we began to notice about 2 years after we moved in that our kitchen floor was kind of doing this thing, right? So it was peaking. And we began to, ignore that because I don't know what to do with that. And so then we noticed that doors wouldn't close and drywall was cracked. And finally, we couldn't ignore it anymore. So we called a foundation place. I won't mention the name. And they came out and gave us an insane bid, multiple thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars. And we said, well, we'll be in touch, right? And then I called my buddy, and we went under the house. And it's actually Becca Walker's dad. Becca's not here today, I think. We went under the house, and Rick, you may have helped some with that too, at least give me some ideas. We went under the house with some jacks, And we jacked that thing up, and it held for 5 or 6 years. But the problem was this. The floor joist, the thing that we were jacking up to bring to make the floor level, the floor joist was rotten. And so with the floor joist being rotten, and you have jacks holding that up, guess what happens? If we had continued to ignore that, guess what would have happened? The floor literally would have fallen out from under us. Now, listen. You can ignore that the Word of God is inspired. You can leave here and do that. You can ignore it. But if you do, the floor of your faith is going to fall out from under you. Because if you ignore the very Word of God are the words of God, if you ignore that, if you start picking and choosing, guess what you're going to do? You're going to pick things you agree with and ignore things that you don't. You're going to pick and choose what you want to follow and ignore what you don't want to follow. And listen to what happens. If you leave here and you cannot conclude that the Bible is the authoritative, inerrant, inspired, infallible Word of God, the opposite of all of those things is true. If the Bible isn't from God, we have no confidence. Not in the Bible, not in any of it. If the Bible isn't from God, well, we have no confidence that we're reading God's voice or hearing God's voice. If the Bible isn't from God, then we can't find our purpose in the Bible. And most importantly, if we don't believe that this book is the Word of God, the lost will never hear the gospel. They'll hear one that you invent. They'll hear one that you agree with, not one that comes from this holy book. And if we don't believe this, if we don't conclude that this is the inspired and inerrant Word of God, let me just show you what will happen. Look in your Bibles. 2 Timothy chapter 4, just following exactly what we just finished reading. We're just going to read verses 1 through 5. Here's what Paul says. I solemnly charge you before God and Christ Jesus, who is going to judge the living and dead because of his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Yeah. Now, does anybody's translation say preach your opinion? Anybody? What does it say? Preach what? Be ready in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and teaching. For the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, will multiply teachers for themselves because they have an itch to hear what they want to hear. They will turn away from hearing the truth and will turn aside to myths. But as for you, believer in Christ, as for you, exercise self-control in everything. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Hear me as clear. I just want to say it as clear as I possibly can. If you abandon the doctrine of inspiration, if you leave here today and you say, I don't believe that's a literal word of God, well, you've got some dangerous days ahead. And your life will look exactly like verses 3 and 4. Your life will look like that. The time will come when you will not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to your own desire, you will find a teacher for yourselves because you have an itch to hear what you want to hear. And you will turn away from hearing the truth, and you will turn aside to myths. The Word of God is so important to the foundation of our faith. It is so important. And it's either all of God's Word or it's none of God's Word. We cannot pick and choose. And here's what I'm doing. I am begging with you. I am pleading with you to, as humble as I can, I am begging and pleading with you to receive God's Word, all of it, to receive God's Word as the truth of God. And I beg you to humbly apply the truth of God's Word to your life. I beg you to find your confidence, to hear God's voice, to find your purpose. and to believe in the gospel and then to share the gospel. I beg of you, take the doctrine of inspiration seriously. And if you're not sure, please email me, text me, catch me in the line. I would love to share more with you. And I promise I will not be a bold jerk about it. Just let me know, all right? We want you to be able to read God's word with confidence, knowing that you are reading the very words of God. To him alone be the glory. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you are good. Thank you that your word is inspired. And Lord, that's proven by all the crazy things that are written in there, the prophecies written thousands upon thousands of years before they came to fruition, the miracles that Jesus did. All of that points to the sacred word being true and being inspired, coming from you. Father, I pray if there's someone in the room who has never repented of their sin and trusted in you, that you would convict them so heavy in this moment, that they would turn to you and repent and be saved. They may not want to come up the aisle. Maybe they do. Father, I just pray you would do your work in their life. Save them. And Father, for the rest of us, I pray that you would help us to boldly and humbly apply the truth of your word to our lives for your glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.